Book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." So God created man in his own image, the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 1, 26 and 27.
Now, the words we just read together are few, and they are true. And they are under vicious attack by a world insisting on all of us changing the way we see everything. So much is packed within just these few words, and yet they are very politically incorrect. The idea that God made us and we didn't make him, that he made us in his image, that we have dominion over the world about us, and that God made us male and female. Truisms which on their face would seem to be just absolutely true just by virtue of them being said, by virtue of them being seen. And yet we know that we live in a world where good is called bad and bad is called good, where light is put for darkness and darkness for light and sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet, just like those in Isaiah's day were so hoodwinked to believe that which was not true. So we are being led to believe things that are not true even today, things that our eyes tell us, that experience tells us, that even science tells us makes no sense. But here at the very beginning of the book we call the Bible, we find the answers that we should all buy into as being true. First of all, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." That suggests the fact that, yes, there is a God in heaven. That this isn't just a materialistic universe we live in, just a materialistic world we live on. That we have above us and beyond us a God behind all of us, the great first cause who said in the beginning, "Let there be light," and there was light. There is a God in heaven. Daniel said that back in the days of his flesh, and we say the same thing today. There is a God in heaven. And like I say, our eyes tell us there must be, our senses suggest there has to be a God behind all of this. It makes no sense to see something and say that whatever that something is, it came from nothing. That makes no sense. And especially it makes no sense to have something with design and say there's no designer behind it, but it just happened by accident, by happenstance. It happened all on its own. That makes no sense at all. To the eye, to our senses, even to science, it makes no sense. And yet the world would have us to believe that everything we see, everything we experience, the universe which is expanding in our imagination almost daily, that all of this is here because it just happened. And they would make fun of those of us who say, "In the beginning, God." We ask them, "Well, in the beginning, what?" And their answer is, "In the beginning, nothing." And then from that nothingness, from that void, from that emptiness of nothingness, there somehow, by some means, in some way, came to be something from that nothingness. And they say that we make no sense in saying that God said, in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. I ask you, which makes more sense? For something to come from something, or for something to come from nothing? For God to be behind everything, or nothing be behind everything? And so here at the very beginning of the Bible, we're reminded of something we ought to know just by looking around us. There is a God in heaven, and we owe our existence to Him. He doesn't owe His existence to us. And that's what the world wants us to begin believing, that God as a mental construct has been invented by man for various reasons, over various times, in various cultures, but God Himself is a creation of man. The idea of man is an imagination of man's mind, that there really is nothing there but for the benefit of controlling people, for the benefit of a civil society, we've constructed this concept we call God. The truth is, though, just like the material world, we have to ask the question, where did we come from? I'm always amazed at the idea that so frequently mentioned and parroted about from day to day now that it's become just an axiom of truth, and that is, the universe is so big, there's so much space, there's so many solar systems, there's so many planets, we can't be the only life here. Well, if God didn't make it, it is nowhere else. If God did make it somewhere else, that's His business. And so I'm not saying the Bible doesn't talk about whether there's life beyond planet Earth. I'm concerned about life on planet Earth. But the idea that somehow, if the conditions were just right somewhere else, life would just spontaneously begin to be life from lifelessness, that makes as little sense as something coming from nothing. Now, we think we're so educated, we believe that we're so bright. We have our laboratories, we have our scientists, we have our people with PhDs and other letters after the name that I can't even describe what they mean. And with all of this, we have yet to this moment to take the chemicals of life and by ourselves turn those chemicals into something which is life. Well, we can play around with life. We can monkey around with it. We can alter it. We can have hybrids of this or hybrids of that. But you start with the chemicals of life and take those lifeless chemicals and make them live. And I'm not just talking about the DNA and the complexity of the human. I'm talking about something as simple as a grain of wheat or a kernel of corn. We can take those seeds apart bit by bit and molecule by molecule and almost atom by atom, and we know what's there. We can't take those same molecules ourselves and put them together and create that life. And we still can't say why. I can tell you why. Life comes from God. It doesn't come from man's ingenuity. It comes from God, not from our intelligence. And so, yes, there may be life beyond this planet. I have no idea. But if it's there, God made it. And if it's not, God chose not to. But I do know that we here in this world, as human beings, owe our existence to God, who made us. The psalmist will say in Psalm 139 and verse 14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. We, by God, have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And not just made, we've been created in His image after His likeness. Now, what is the image? What's the likeness of God? It's not a language he speaks. It's not a color he has. It's not an ethnicity he has. It's not a culture he enjoys. He is spirit. God's not a fleshly being. He made himself flesh in the person of Christ, live a perfect life, and die a perfect sacrifice for us. But God himself, God is spirit. Listen to Jesus' words from John 4 and verse 24. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The very essence of God is spirit. And so he made us in his own image after his own likeness, in that we too are spiritual beings. We too are our spirit. And this brings us to that next aspect of our passage this morning, which is so unpopular today, and that is the idea that God has given us dominion over the animals, over the world, over that about us. The reason why? Because unlike everything else God's created, unlike every other living thing God has created, he's implanted within us, he's made of us a spirit. Now, we do have a reason by way of God's desire for us to be prudent and show responsibility and be good stewards of the world. We have a responsibility to take charge of the world around us and not waste things, not pollute things, not destroy things. But that being said, the world is not here for us to bow down to. The animal kingdom is not there for us to worship. Everything God has made, he made for our benefit and gave us charge over it. There's a difference in you and an animal. And don't let anybody tell you, well, we're just another animal. We're not. There's a huge difference in you and a zebra or myself and an elephant. The difference is I have a spirit. You have a spirit. Those animals don't. The animals, when they die, their very essence goes back to the dust from which they came. When you and I die, our bodies go back to the dust from which they came. But the true us, our spirits live on. As the song we sing so vividly suggests, the soul never dies. And so because we've been made in God's image after his likeness, we have added privileges, but also we have additional responsibilities to live as God would have us to live and to take control over the world in a responsible measure of stewardship. But then this last, it's the problem of late that we're fighting over, arguing about, and dividing because of the very idea that God said, male and female, I'll create them. Now, I began this by saying many of these things would seem just by your own eyes, just the use of your own senses, by the application of the most basic sciences, would be proved to be false. How many years ago would I have to go to not even have to defend the idea that there is male and female, and that's about it? And that you have other males and females by those males and females doing things that males and females do. That's just the way it's always been, the way we've always seen it, the way our senses tell us it has to be, the way science says it's supposed to be, and yet now we're being led to believe that that's an archaic way of looking at things. And males can be females, and females can be males to the point at which if we happen to say that men can't give birth, we're being bigoted and prejudiced. Well, you believe what you see. You don't believe what you hear. You believe what makes sense. You don't believe what the experts are trying to tell you. At the very beginning, God laid it down. He'll make man out of his image, in his likeness. He'll give man dominion over all the earth and all that lives upon the earth. And he'll make them, and he made them. And he'll make them, and he still makes them. Male and female. Now, you may not like that, and I may not like that. It doesn't matter what we like. The world may prefer it to be some other way. That makes no difference. People may vote and make it enforceable to be a different way. It makes no difference to what the truth is. People in high positions of influence and power and prestige and world dominance may say otherwise, but it doesn't change the truth of what is. Because you see, you can't change the truth by changing the way you feel about it. You can't change the truth by changing how many agree with you about it. You can't change the truth about how you might vote about it. And you can't change the truth about what a Hollywood star says about it. Truth is truth regardless on any subject. And this one is a case in point. God made us male and female. It's amazing here in just these two verses. Just these two verses, so much is here that would seem on its face to be true if you didn't have outsiders trying to tell you they're not true. They seem to make so much sense if you didn't have experts telling you, well, it can't be that simple. That seemed to be true if you didn't have people saying, well, no, we're looking at science differently now than we used to. Fact is, God exists, God made us, we're in His image, we have dominion over the earth, and God made us male and female. And my friends, that's a hill worth dying on. It pains me to say that we have religiously minded people coming together on a Lord's Day like today in an assembly like this one, who believe as a group and are taught by preachers themselves who teach just the opposite of everything that these verses say. Just the opposite. That buy into the idea of evolution, that buy into the idea of Mother Earth and our bending and bowing to the wills and the whims of nature, that buy into the idea of your whatever gender you want to be at the time. Now, this is a problem not just worldwide, not just culturally, it's a problem that seeped within religious groups. And in some cases, even the Lord's church. And I realize there are some things to squabble over and some things to let go. Sometimes you answer a fool according to his folly, and sometimes you just walk away. But if there's not something like this that we can stand up about, what is there left to stand for? The fact that God is. God made us in His likeness. We are to have dominion over the world about us, and God made us male and female. Now, that's a hill worth dying on. I wish more believed like we do, more agreed with us, but really, what does that matter? I wish the world weren't going like it was in the direction it is, but really, what does that matter? What matters is, what do we believe? What do we stand for? What is truth, and what do we insist upon being seen by us and those around us as truth? And here we have it. As we close this service, I ask, as I always do, are you right with God? God who made us, are you right with Him? Have you ever understood that this spirit He gave you is in need of being reborn? And if it hasn't been, He gives you means by which that can happen. Your faith in Christ Jesus, His Son, leads you to turn away from your sins and repentance, confess that faith, and be baptized as Christ Himself taught. Have you done that? Or perhaps you have, but you've walked away. The world's won you back over. Come back. Ask the Lord forgiveness. But if you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.